absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
We lived in nice small cottages on a beautiful seaside.
Impressions about the locals? Well, they are very friendly, very open-minded. It's always easy to talk to them, to get in touch with them.
We had many different workshops. I personally chose the video workshop.
I'm the catering manager. I am trying to get the food for 40 people from 8 different countries here on Eckel Island.
Every morning, I'm running a little with Johan. And it's such a stormy weather here in Ireland, so that we have the wind in the back. We are running like tigers, and when we have the wind in the front, it's just like turtles.
I had a few seconds to decide, and now I'm here in Eckel Island.
Different from Romania, and this experience is so great.
Welcome to episode 25, our silver jubilee of Absolutely Intercultural, which is coming to you from Ireland, as you might have already guessed from our intro. Laurent and I have just been on an excursion within the framework of the EU-funded program Borrowed Identities, European Student Now. And in this episode, you will hear many different voices from many nationalities, but one in particular, Agnes, a student from Corvinus University in Budapest in Hungary, has helped us a great deal with doing interviews and creating the concept for this episode. So thank you very much, Agnes.
Now, we were not so sure if it would be appropriate to put our own project at the center of the show, but as we are so enthusiastic about it, and as the results of the project were even better than we could have expected, we thought we should share our own intercultural happiness with you, and I hope you will forgive us for being a little more self-centered than we really should be. Now, as a preparation for the proposed European Year of Intercultural Dialogue 2007, our project Borrowed Identities aims at creating an intercultural learning environment based on virtual and real mobility. The project is targeted at business, technical, and humanities students in Germany, Sweden, Spain, the UK, and in Hungary, and focuses on combining computer-mediated academic work, face-to-face meetings, and intercultural communication. So, as you can see, it fits in nicely with the kinds of things that we usually report on this show. There were two phases in this particular project. There was phase number one, which was a kind of preparatory e-learning course, which took place at all the participating universities. So here the students got together in a digital internet platform between October 2006 and Christmas. And then we just had phase two, a 12-day intensive program on Eckel Island and in Dublin in Ireland. And this just finished a couple of days ago. Now, this combination provided students with a new perspective of their own cultural identity as students and the cultural identity of their foreign fellow students and hosts in Ireland. Their work was focused on analyzing as well as putting into practice common theories and models of intercultural communication, like Hofstede, which we've talked about on this show, and the management of cultural diversity. Role plays, workshops, and seminars allowed students to explore the diverse dimensions of culture in a growing Europe, which involves issues related to gender, to age, to race, and to nationality. So a short while ago, 40 people from 5 different countries and actually 8 different nationalities met for 12 days in Ireland to work together on a variety of academic workshops such as Borrowed Identities, Changing Perspectives to Cultural Identities, or the Role of the Internet for Rural Community Development. The students also attended intercultural lectures about nonverbal communication, national stereotypes, or European career strategies. Now, to give you an idea of what the personal aims of the participating coordinators and teachers were, I've asked some of them what they wanted to get out of the project personally and for their professional life, and if their expectations were actually fulfilled.
For me, this teaching experience is really enriching for a very simple reason. I don't have a very long teaching experience, but this week on ACUL has taught me methods that I wouldn't ever use at the university in León.
Uh-huh. Why not?
Well, in León, everything is prepared, right? Every single detail is looked after, and I have everything under control the previous day and even the weeks before, right? Here, the teaching is in the making. I start from a concept, and I have to think of new methods. I may not use them later on, right? But this is good because it makes me be more and more creative, and in a way, I have to improvise a little.
Well, in my point of view, I can agree. Because I use this week here on ECHO as a starter to try out new methods, like a photo story, maybe.
And
this
is what is a photo story?
A photo story, this is what you just already know, you've seen on a magazine, maybe. This is, you have the pictures, you have text, you have speech bubbles, you combine this, mm-hmm. and the students are trying to implement intercultural aspects mm-hmm. into this story.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think it's just fabulous that we meet to so many people and so many teachers, and we just get to know all our different intercultural capacities, and we are able to keep on thinking and trying out all the different things we bring in from our different cultures?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can add to this that, for example, for me, as it's quite new for Hungarian universities to have foreign students, it's a good opportunity for me to get to know other students from other countries and how they behave in a teaching context.
Well, I think it's not only that we are meeting us as well. I think it is really incredible good that we are going to be in a community which gives us the opportunity to get to meet them and to get to know their cultural advantages and their cultural problems, and that we can exchange all the experience ourselves.
Yeah, also the language, I think, because this time, for the first time, we had a language diversity manager, and this was one of the students, and his job was actually to make the languages visible. And to be quite honest, I've never been surrounded by so much Hungarian, for example, because I haven't been on a holiday there, and so for the first time we learned some Hungarian words, and it even helped us tonight, for example, that we had learned the word language, because on the computer, we were using a Hungarian computer, we suddenly, we couldn't figure out, but then we saw this word, language, and this is which helped us to change the language to English. So it even helped us on the same day.
Something there. Actually, in the workshop where I took part, we had the Swedish laptop, so some of the students learned some Swedish, I guess.
Yes, and I would like to tell you, it is really incredible to come back and then to tell all your colleagues how good it is to make these experiences and just to encourage them to do something more about European projects.
Yes, because everybody talks about it, but here the students and also the teachers actually get an opportunity to live in a cottage with 5 different nationalities. I think that is quite different from just sitting around a meeting table with 5 different nationalities, for example.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that this works out because we are prepared. We come with an open mind, and that helps. We are ready to learn from each other as much as possible. We want to share our culture. We want to let others say what we are like and what we have to offer. And I think that's one of the keys for the success of this project.
And I think another aspect is not only that we want to share, but we are also open to learn.
Exactly. That's the give and take.
Right.
Give and take. Yes. That's important.
And even the results are quite special because of all these people from different countries. That makes it so diverse. And the results, also the media things, are quite interesting to have completely new products mm-hmm. with people from almost all over Europe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And something I like as well is that these results are the results of the agreement reached
by a group of people, a consensus mm-hmm. Reached by people from different cultures who have met 5 days ago, but they all have worked hard on it. And throughout the development of my workshop, I have seen how they support each other, mm. how they help each other, how they listen to each other. I think that's fantastic. That's really good.
Yeah. I find it quite interesting because at the beginning you have a concrete mm-hmm. idea, but then it turns into completely something different mm-hmm. because the ideas from these different cultures are bringing it into something very mm-hmm. it's a completely new product in the end, and it's quite surprising also in the
okay.
end.
Okay, so we can say give Europe a chance, live together.
Yeah. Okay, and I think this should be the final word. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Andrea has just mentioned the importance of meeting the locals on Ekel Island, which is one of the main aims in this project. But how can meeting the inhabitants be achieved in reality? Well, the day after we arrived on Ekel Island, we gave a big reception party for the whole island. In the weeks before our arrival, we had 3 articles published in the Mayo News, the local newspaper, in which we invited everybody to join us for the party.
And this worked out incredibly well. Only a few minutes after the reception party had started with food from all our home countries, the room was packed with people who enjoyed not only the conversation with the students, but also all the different food and drink that was brought along to represent our different cultures. It was obvious that everybody had a good time, and we made many important contacts for the coming week and included Irish people into our workshops. But rather than explaining this in theory, we should give you some audio impressions of the real thing. Delicious. What is it?
That is tunnbröd med gravad lax, which is thin bread made without yeast mm-hmm. with the marinated salmon on it. And there's also a gravlax sauce, which is a sauce that we have with marinated salmon, which is made mainly from mustard, but also vinegar and oil.
Which food did you like best?
The caramel on toast.
Sorry?
The caramel on toast.
And which country is that from? Do you remember?
Mexico.
From Mexico? Okay. What is your favorite food?
The Spanish one.
What did you try?
The sausage. Tasted some of the ham. I think it was from Bavaria on lovely brown bread. It was delicious. I really enjoyed having a different flavor.
Can you say it's an Irish piece?
How may of me being a fish?
What does that mean?
That means I'm 9 years old.
Wow.
Can you say something in Irish?
Kawatu Aragoni.
And what does that mean?
Where do you live?
Okay. Did you get a chance to try the international food at the party so far?
I did. Firstly, I tried Hungarian scones, which were very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
I ate some Spanish sausage.
Oh, they're good, aren't they?
Yeah, very good. And I think German sausage also.
Mm-hmm.
German black pudding.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just had orange juice from Spain.
It's good for the community and good for the people travelling into the area also, you know.
Are you taking part in anything this time round?
I would hope to take part in a media workshop, which I'm always interested in, community and media. Mm-hmm. That's the area that I'm particularly interested in.
We met many old friends at the reception party because we had been to Ekel in previous years, but we also got to know new people. Stephen Manning, for example, has settled down on Ekel Island with his Japanese wife and their 3 children after quite an exciting period of his life. Besides driving trucks for the Irish band U2 and leading alpine tours, he also taught English in Japan for a couple of years. Stephen invited a group of students to his house, and Agnes from Hungary took her chance and interviewed him about our project.
First time I heard about this, it was in the newspaper, and honestly and truthfully, I was excited. I thought, great, this is wonderful. You know, you're all bright, you know, young, enthusiastic, you know, you're university students, you know, you have a, you know, an informed perspective on life, and you're doing something together. This has to be the way forward. You know, it's fine to identify with your own culture, to honour it even, you know, to encourage others to participate in it. But ultimately, the greater perspective or the greater paradigm has to be the awareness that first and foremost we are all in this together, you know, and we're all sharing the same earth, we're all sharing the same resources, and the more we know and understand about that, and the more we know and understand about each other, and the more we open to each other, the better the world has to be. When you travel as an individual, or even with your own family, but you're the one that's going out to work and stuff like that, you interact with the various cultures. Well, you are the visitor to a culture, right? What's different, I think, about what you guys are doing is that each of you is stepping outside of your own sort of cultural comfort zone, at least a little, and bringing yourself, first of all, into a foreign country, Ireland, first of all, you're out here. Secondly, you're with other students from different nationalities, and yeah, I'm sure there has to be tensions, and I don't mean negative tensions, but there have to be tensions where communication is difficult, where the way things are getting done is not the usual way you would do it, and so on and so forth. But, you know, the old adage, you know, there's no growth without change. And the fact is, you know, that's how a person becomes a real person or a full person. It's not by locking the doors and sitting tightly at home, you know, behind your cozy fire and whatever, and looking out at the world. It's by opening the doors and not only going out, but letting others come in. And it's in, you know, in that manner we grow. Just like, you know, again, just like plants, you know, once a plant stops growing, it starts dying. And it's exactly the same thing for a human being, except we haven't seen it that way traditionally, you know. People tend to go for what they think is security, but often that security is rooted in a fear of the unknown. Yeah. Now, if you get rid of that fear of the unknown by finding out what the unknown is, you don't need the security in the first place. I hope that makes sense.
Yes,
yeah.
It
yeah.
Does. It does.
Well, that was my experience with all the travels I did. It was the first couple of times, truthfully, I was scared. And even when I was studying world religions and I would actually go out to different churches or mosques or synagogues, I my heart would be beating in my chest, you know, wondering what they would think of me and what reception I'd get. And, you know, just being self-conscious and anxious and things like that. But the more I did those things, the less and less anxiety there was, and the more I started to learn and understand, and of course it was a great learning experience. I didn't agree with everything I heard and saw, but at least I knew what it was, and the fear tends to go away when you know what you're dealing with. The fear is much more
exactly.
We also met Sean and Margaret Cannon again, and we go a long way back together. I met Sean about 10 years ago on another project meeting. And since then, we have continuously worked together on European projects. He is part of what we call our European project family. So Agnes met them and she asked Sean and Margaret about the impact of tourism on Achill Island. And of course, about the impact of our projects as well. So let's listen in.
Yes, I think our Minister for Tourism is quite aware of the role that tourism plays on this island. It is a part of the island economy, but not all of it, I have to add, as there are a lot of people here who would work in Castlebar or Westport and just come home at weekends. So it's like a patchwork quilt, as we say here. There's a little of everything.
Yeah, Achill has benefited greatly from tourism. Or to put it another way, the natural instinct in people to acquire in upon that which is strange for them. And Achill is strange for many people that come here. And that's great.
Yeah, I would be interested. How is it in Achill? Because I experienced it in many countries, especially my country, that there are some traditions which used to be natural, and somehow the meaning of them changed. They lost their original meaning, and somehow they just are kept alive because of tourists, just to have
yes.
them as a tourist attraction.
I think I know what you mean, Agnes. It's peculiar. The pipe bands are very famous here in Achill Island. But the people partake in it for themselves, because this happens at the time of the year when there are no tourists. So each generation is learning how to play the the bagpipes, and it's absolutely wonderful to hear this. Also, the traditional music school on the island, they practice all winter and summer, and so it's interesting that you should bring that up. Sean, what do you think?
I think that I welcome change all the time, and I think the issue worldwide of change in the basic culture of civilizations is something that change has to happen. That is part and parcel of the definition of human living. It has to happen. How it happens, we can look back at the old programs of the programs dealing with other civilizations which lived thousands of years ago, and we can see that difference across time would change. And I think now here in Achill, we are in the middle of some form of change. However, I think our integration with the rest of Europe and with the rest of the world, I think our history of sending our young people abroad, I think our integration into intercultural affairs worldwide, and in particular in Europe, is instilling in the population a new understanding of what it is to be from Achill.
Yes, I see. And finally, I would like to ask about our project. I heard that right from the beginning there was an interest for that.
We love to see the students coming. It's like the lifeblood of Europe coming to our island. We really do like to see them come. They come from different countries, obviously, and it's lovely to hear them all speaking our language.
Yes.
And we go to the Atlas and we find out where they come from, and they visit our schools, and it's lovely for the children. It's a true cultural exchange. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that I'm not sure what led to what, but certainly the realization here locally of the internet and the web and all of that was hugely enhanced by the kind of bartering that actually started to happen here. I myself was a recipient of many hours of expertise from those who were well versed in web design and the whole electronic information era, and that has helped us to grow this whole area of life here, which is of increasing importance.
So yes, it was a great hub. And about the students, what do you think, what was the general opinion about our group, and how did it affect the life of the locals?
This group has been singularly successful because it has gone about the business of integrating. It has integrated by visiting the schools at both at primary level and at second level. It has gone about the business of integrating with individuals through assisting them in projects. Even the what we call the neenery here, these are for very, very young children,
the
of three
children.
Preschool children.
Yes.
They've assisted them in using eBay to raise funds to sustain themselves. So it's been a very integrated experience with the community, and that's
a
the lifeblood.
Positive experience.
That's the lifeblood of this project.
Well, I'm afraid that's it for this episode of Absolutely Intercultural. If you'd like to know more about our project Borrowed Identities on Achill Island or anything we've talked about, please visit our blog at www.absolutelyintercultural.com. You will find the links to our project and can follow a date. You will find the links to our project and can follow a day-by-day travelogue of the excursion, written by the students themselves. Check it out, they have done a really good job. In our blog you can also leave a comment and get in touch with other people who are interested in intercultural issues. The next show will be coming to you on the 9th of March from NFOX in Denmark. And so long,
stay tuned!
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.